Dear God, our holy and righteous Father, we are so thankful that you have given us another opportunity on this evening to hear the message of the gospel. We pray, Lord, that Brother Alexander this evening bless us with the divine word of truth, teaching us those precepts as they pertain to your son Jesus and his love for us by giving himself on the cross at Calvary. Pray, Lord, he iterate to us the empty tomb and the church that he established by which all men can be saved. We ask, Lord, that your word have free course this evening. Pray, Lord, there was someone among us listening who has good soil, who is seeking the truth this evening, and pray that a seed is planted within their hearts. Pray that they respond with obedient faith. Lord, we know that you are still blessing the world with the increase. We know you still don't desire any man to be saved. Thank you for being a righteous and a never-changing God. Lord, we ask that you be with our speaker this evening. Give him a ready recollection of those things he has prepared and studied. Pray, Lord, he is able to speak as it pertains to the oracles of your holy and divine word. Lord, bless the listeners this evening that they record those things that Brother Alexander will proclaim, searching to see if those things are so. We pray, Lord, and in listening this evening, they're able to develop the faith that is necessary. And then from faith, Lord, they repent and confess and pray, Lord, that they believe on those things and be baptized. Lord, we ask this prayer in Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Flunder. We're very grateful tonight to have a large call. We got a lot of people calling tonight, and lines are just loading up tonight. This is very exciting. We've been doing this for 4 months, and the calls are still coming in. We want to thank all of you who have supported our call all 4 months, and we are thankful for our speakers so very much for their volunteering their 30 minutes of their time. Tonight, if you're on the call, you're not a member of the Church of Christ. You're a very honored guest, and you are the reason we put this call on. And so we ask you to get your Bible now. Take it out and take notes of the things that will be said by our speaker tonight. And especially pay attention to those things as it pertains to saving of your soul. For we know all of us are going to die, but you don't want to lose your soul. Please listen carefully. Tonight, Brother Sherman Alexander, friend of mine, and one have supported me. And so thankful for him in my life, the things he's added to my life. I'm thankful for. He's a local. Those of us that how high you know him, he serves currently at the Church of Christ there in Zion Church of Christ in Lyons, Texas. He's been there since 2015 as a minister. He's been a minister for 29 years, so he got some experience on his belt. So at this time, we're going to let him come on, and I'm going to ask Brother Sherman if he would tell us, what does the Bible say about how Christ gives life? Let us hear that, Brother Sherman.
Amen. Truly, the God of heaven has blessed us here tonight. I want to thank him because if it wasn't for him tonight, we would not even be here. I'd like also to thank Brother Brooks and Brother Flounder, Brother Stroud, and the Holland Heights Church of Christ for this invitation on tonight. Also, I'd like to thank the listening audience, especially the listening audience, that I would like for you to know tonight that if there's anything that is said, you can just feel free to get back with us on it. The subject I have been given comes from the theme of what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? And my subject is, what does the Bible say about how Christ gives life? You know, when we think about this subject, we need to understand, first of all, that we're talking about the Bible. The word Bible means the book, and it is the book of books that contain other books and have chapters and verses are better known as scriptures. And the Bible says in Psalms 68 and verse number 11 that God gave the word, and great were them that published it. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter and verse number 16, the Bible says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we can see the Bible is so imperative tonight. The Bible is the book that will lead us from earth to glory. The Bible means the basic instructions before life ends, or the basic instructions before leaving earth. You know, all through biblical time, the book has been mentioned. The book of the covenant in Exodus 24 and 7. The name can be blotted out of the book in Exodus 32 and 33. In Deuteronomy 31 and 24, the words of the law was written in a book. And in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter and verse number 2, God has spoken to Jeremiah. The Bible says, I have spoken to thee in a book. You see, the book, the Bible is so important. So we have to go back to the Bible on every subject to see what the Bible says about any subject matter on tonight. And tonight we want to talk about what does the Bible says about how Christ gives life. You see, life is a big subject today. Some people are living for the weekend. Some people are caring about all of their possessions. And sometimes they even have corporate 19 parties. But that's not the life that Jesus came to give. You see, it is important that we understand that life is a thing that we should live sanctified, set apart from the world, being holy, imitating God all through our lives. What's important is that we glorify God. The Bible says it like this in Matthew the 4th chapter and verse number 4. When Jesus had gone through the wilderness, and he was a very hungry man, being out there for 40 days, and he said, the devil came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, cast these stones into bread. Now, let us pay attention to what Jesus says that's important. Now, this is important to God, and it's important to him, and it should be important to us tonight. The Bible says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You see, we are to allow the word of God to be our God and our guide, our direction. Oh, Jeremiah said it, that man that liveth is not within man to direct his own path. You see, I don't have the right to try to die. I should follow God all of the way. Jesus said it real well over there in John 10 and verse number 10. Let's go there because this is where we're going to get our subject matter from on tonight. That's John 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says over here in John 10 and verse number 10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. But I've come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, Jesus came at a time when people were still living, but they were spiritually dead. So Jesus says that I come that you might have life now, and I believe it can be a good quality of life, but you can have it more abundantly, which is represents this eternal life that Jesus came to give. Now, in Luke, the 19th chapter and verse number 10, the Bible says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. In Romans 3 and verse number 23, the Bible says that all had sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So you can see we needed Jesus. And we needed him so much. And they needed him. They was walking dead people, spiritually dead to God. And the Bible says over here in Luke, the 4th chapter, and verse number 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are abused. So Jesus had a great purpose for coming. He came that people that didn't believe could believe. You see, it was so important that Jesus got people to believe. And you see, there's another place in the scriptures that we must go over tonight. Now, my question is this. First of all, I want to talk about why did Jesus come? And we're talking about that now. Next, I want to talk about how do we obtain this life in which Jesus gives. And finally, what does the church have to do with salvation? You see, all of these are so important to us tonight because some people would say this, that, and the other, but we got to see what the Bible says about it. Now, in Matthew 16, and verse number 18, the Bible says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, that's a good statement that Jesus is making now, but I would have a question that I would have to ask God. And in order for God to answer me, I've got to go to the Bible and see what it says. Why is it so important with the church? What does the church have to do with Jesus giving life? Well, just hang on. Just stay with me just a little while. We're going to see some things in the Bible. Now, I got another question. Can you have life without Christ? Well, we're going to find out you cannot have life without Christ. In 1 John 5 and verse number 11, let's see what the Bible says here. 1 John 5 and verse number 11. You see, it's so important that we just stick with what the Bible says about a thing, because we cannot just determine things upon our own and that be all right with God. See, the Bible says, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You see, if we're going to have life, we got to be in Christ. If we're going to obtain eternal life, we got to be in Christ. You see, you can't have life, God not being a respecter of persons. You can't have life being outside of Jesus Christ. In Revelations 22 and verse number 18, it teaches us that we are not to add to or subtract from the book of life. It is so important that we understand that we cannot have life outside of Jesus Christ. He came to seek and to save. He came that we might have life. He came to heal the brokenhearted and all of those reasons we talked about in just a few minutes ago. Well, the question is, how do we obtain this life in Christ Jesus? How is it? What does the Bible say about this life, how we obtain this life? Well, in Leviticus 17 and verse number 11, the Bible teaches us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. Well, I want you to know tonight that this spiritual life that Jesus came to give is also in the blood. You see, it was circumcision of the skin, but now it's baptism for sin. And we're going to be able to adjourn all of this together, and prayerfully, we will be able to see how Christ gives life and what the church has to do with it all. See, because man will tell you it doesn't matter how you come to the Lord. All you got to do is be born again, but never can tell you how to be born again. All you do is accept them into your heart. We can't find those things written in the Bible. So let's see what the Bible says. In the book of John, the 19th chapter, it all began at the cross. It was at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. You see, it's all at the cross. And Jesus hanging on that tree, on that cross. And the Bible says that if any, curse to any man that hangs on the tree. But now we have Jesus in John the 19th chapter. He's hanging on that tree. And the Bible says over here, in verse number 31, the Jews therefore, before it was the preparation, that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that day was a high day, besought Pilate that they would break their legs and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers and came to break of the first person and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw he was dead already, and they brake not his leg. But one soldier came and took a sword, and they speared my Lord in the side. And the Bible says out of it came blood and water. We got to get in the water to contact that blood. And we're going to see exactly how Christ gives life. First of all, we need to know that Jesus hung on that tree all 6 long hours in agony and in pain for you and for me. And now he shed his blood. But we need to understand that we've got to contact that blood, because that blood is the blood that gives life. You see, he's that sacrificial lamb. The Bible had already predicted that not a bone of his body would be broken. And later on in the scripture, it says that this was done that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So you see, it's necessary to understand that now we've got to contact the blood of Christ if we're going to receive this life. And that's a question. Man won't tell you how to contact the blood. Matter of fact, I know that they won't, because most times they'll say baptism is in and out with sign of grace. And, you know, you can do it and go join the church of your choice. But what does the Bible say? See, that's what the subject matter is today. It's not what man says, because man can tell you anything. But the Bible teaches that we ought to be able to prove all things. In 1 Peter 4 and verse number 11, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. See, I can't just say anything and it be all right with God. It might be all right with you, but I'm trying to please God. So I'm going to tell you what God says in his book. The Bible says in John 5 and 29, search the scriptures, in them you think you have eternal life. So it's important to understand what the Bible says about this. So how do we contact the blood of Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, before you contact the blood of Christ, there are some things you need to know, and you need to believe, and you have to obey. You see, first of all, Jesus told them over there in Mark 16:15-16, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe it and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be dead. So you know it's the gospel that we've got to have preached. And in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse Number 10, the Bible says the preaching of the cross to some is foolishness, but to us it's the power of God. If you want to exercise and receive the power of God, you've got to obey the gospel. But what is the gospel? What is this gospel? Not the gossip. You see, because a lot of people are talking about the gossip, but not the gospel. This is the gospel of Christ, the good news that how Jesus Christ hung on that tree of the cross. He died, and he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. You see, that's the gospel. Those are facts that we need to know. But I want you to know something. There are some commands that we have to obey. Yes, you got to know the facts, but you got to obey the commands also. Now, what are some of the commands? Well, one of the commands is that a person has to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You see, you can't be saved if you don't believe that he's the Son of God. In the book of John, the 8th chapter in verse 23, he says, you should die in your sins. You believe that I'm not him. And in verse 21, he says, where I am, you cannot come. If I die in my sins, I cannot be saved. I cannot get into Christ. Christ cannot give me life. You see, to be saved and to be in Christ is the same thing as Christ giving us life. Oh, then a person has to repent. You see, it's so necessary to repent. God's commanded men everywhere to repent, Acts 17:30, 2 Peter 3:9, that he wants all not to perish, that all come to repentance. He told his own disciples in Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. After that, a person has to confess. Now, you know, a lot of times people will teach you, they'll tell you all the time that you got to confess your sins. And that is one of the lies that the devil has told people. That the Bible does not say that. What does the Bible say? In Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You're moving towards getting into Christ. You're moving towards being in Christ. You're moving towards getting this life, but you ain't got it yet. Hey, he ain't never said confess your sin, and I'm glad that he didn't, because I can't remember what I did yesterday, let alone all of my sins. So we are to confess Jesus Christ is the Son of God, like the Ethiopian eunuch had done it in Acts the 8th chapter, around verse number 36, when the Bible says he began at the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus, and he said, here's water, what do hinder me to be baptized? He said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. Then he said, they both got out the chariot, went down into the water, and he baptized him. After making that confession that he's the Son of God, they went down and he baptized him. So baptism is necessary. And now wait, what does the church have to do with all of this? Well, that was a time when God, he had his certain people, the Hebrews, the children of Israel, and later the Jews. But now all had sinned, and he sent his Son into the world that they can be saved. So now he wanted to reconcile all men back to him. And the question is, how did he do that? How did he reconcile all men back to him? Well, in Ephesians 2, and we're going to find out what the church have to do with being in Christ. We're going to find out what the church has to do with Christ giving life. Wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, which are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made with hands, that at that time you was without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and with God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. You see, that was the inventory between Jew and Gentile, who have made both one and broken down that middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the inventory, the hatred, even the law of commandments contained in all innocence, for to make in himself the two other twain, one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both the Jew and the Gentile, and unto God in one body. Well, that body is the church. God used Jesus to come down to this earth, to hang on the tree of the cross, to shed his blood, and to purchase his church with it. Acts 20 and verse number 20. And now he allows that a man could be saved. Man can get in Christ. A man can get this life that Christ gives according to the Bible and be added to the church that Christ has. Now, it's the only church that we can find now. It's the only church in the Bible. Now, the way I know this is true, and in this church, you do not get voted in. There's no right hand of fellowship. Only the Lord can add you to it. See, you got to be added by the Lord. How do I know that? Let's go to the Bible. In Acts 2 and verse number 36, the Bible says that same Jesus that you crucified, God have made both Lord and Christ. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brother, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 5 and 32, he gives the Spirit to all those that obey him. But in Acts 2 and verse 41, then they gladly received the word, were baptized, and the same day added, see, not voted in, but added unto them. 3,000 souls. Then the Bible says in verse 47, Acts 2:47, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to the church, the same one Jesus said he was going to build, the same one that he gave his life for, that same church he added. And you say, what the church got to do with it? I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people running around talking about he's their savior. But if you're not in the place that he's going to save, he cannot be your savior. How do you know that? Let's go to the Bible. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 23, the Bible says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, the body is the church. Ephesians 4 and 4, there is only one body. So we're talking about that one church. He's the savior of the body. In verse 27, the Bible tells us that he's going to present it to himself. He's going to take that church up to heaven and present it to the Father. So in order for you to be saved, in order for you to make heaven your home, in order for him to be your savior, he has to give you life. And in order that you make heaven your home, you've got to be in that place that he's coming back to save, deliver us from the wrath of God. And the earth's going to burn up. So either you got to go now, be doing it right with God, the plan of salvation, believing Jesus Christ is God's son, or repenting of your sin, confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins. He'll add you to the church, give you the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then add you to his church. And if you work, walk, and worship faithfully, heaven will be your home. I pray on tonight that if I pray that there's been something said that will cause you to examine yourself to see if what you've done is right. At this time, I thank you for listening, the listening audience. I thank Brother Brooks and the Highland Heights Church of Christ and Brother Flonda for this opportunity. At this time, I'm turning you back over to the hands of Brother Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Sherman Alexander. We appreciate you so very much. And to those who are listening, yes, sir, we are still the church of Christ that speak where the Bible speaks. And we are silent where the Bible is silent. We're known as Bible-toting, Bible-quoting believers. And we're on the call tonight because we believe that Bible is from God. And if you're listening tonight and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we love you and we spoke the truth in love. And Brother Sherman Alexander has done the job we asked him to do tonight. And we thank you for letting us come into your home 30 minutes with this truth. And we hope and pray that you'll obey it before it's eternally too late. If you're on the call tonight, you want to be baptized, get back with the person who invited you to our call. They'll be very helpful to you, I'm sure. And if you'll email us, if you need more Bible studies or you want to talk to us more about what's being said by our teachers or preachers, just email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com, nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Or perhaps you may want to just go back and listen to the message and you want to hear it again. It's recorded. It's on our website. All the messages from me on our website. All you got to go to HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. And there, click on sermons, nationwide gospel meeting call, and all the flyers and everything there are downloadable along with the recording messages. So we thank you for listening. And so tonight, let us pray to God. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings of life. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord. Thank you for loving us, Father. Thank you that he gave his life on that cross and shed the blood that will purchase the church and that would wash our sins away and give us life. Thank you, Father, for loving us. We pray for our listening audience today. They have heard the truth, those who are not members of the Church of Christ. They'll obey it before it's eternally too late. That they know that it's on their record. They've been taught the Bible say about Christ giving life. We pray they'll obey it before it's so too late. And we pray for those, Lord, on the call tonight, who are brothers and sisters in Christ, that inviting their friends, help them to not be discouraged, but to continue to invite and share those that love. We thank you for Brother Alexander. We thank you for his passion, for the message, and for the deliverance of the message. We thank you for his commitment to the cause of Christ. Be with us, Father, as we go through this month. Be with the rest of our speakers as they prepare themselves. We pray for clarity, quality, sound, and all the good things that come with presenting a good message. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us tonight. Join us again tomorrow night. Brother Robert Taylor, Ripley, Tennessee, will be speaking about the Jesus to Christ. What does the Bible say? I pray you have a good night's rest. May God bless you. This is my prayer.